Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and tonight our guest hosts will be with us, Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter as well. And Billy Painter will be with us in just a few minutes to do the news. But we just welcome you tonight. You are listening to an extension and a production of the ministry of Fire and Grace Church here in the Opelika, Auburn area of East Alabama, and Dean Odell Ministry. So we welcome you tonight. Glad you're listening. Of course, if you've been on Facebook this week or gotten an email or text from us, you know that we're getting into the subject tonight in Bible prophecy concerning what God foretold really in the book of Daniel going back over 2,600 years ago, and then again in the book of Revelation, that in the last days that Satan would move the kings of the earth and the leaders of the earth and the wealthy and the rich men of the earth, and they would conspire together, yes, a conspiracy, they would conspire together to form a world government led by Satan, and then, of course, one man, the Antichrist, who they will call the great world teacher who is coming. Well, I'll show you that that is what the United Nations calls this coming world leader that they are preparing for. And we'll look, too, tonight at not just the quotes from some of our well-known leaders across the world over the past century and even to this present day, but we'll look at what the scriptures say, and we'll look at what is going on in the world concerning this. And frankly, you know, a lot of people aren't, you know, they say, well, we're not worried about this. This will never happen. But, folks, let me just say that the Bible has a great track record of fulfilled prophecy. And, of course, if you listen to this program or listening to our podcast or messages of our church services or YouTube videos or whatever, you know that we get into showing how Bible prophecy has been coming to pass for centuries, but particularly the end-time Bible prophecies that are happening now. And let's just be clear, the Bible will come to pass. Every word, every jot, every tittle, everything that Jesus said, everything that the prophets of the Old Testament said, everything that the apostles foretold will come to pass. And I tell people this all the time. They say, oh, you're into those conspiracy theories. You know, I tell them, I said, if it's in the Bible, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's news before it happens. And God's word always comes to pass. God's word is always true, and you can bet your life on it. And not only life in this world, you can bet your eternity on the fact that the Bible is true. God's word will come to pass. And tonight, as we're looking at this subject of the Bible foretold that a satanic, Luciferian, Lucifer-worshipping world government would be formed in the last days, if you can hear what these leaders are saying, what they're planning, and that they acknowledge that their secret doctrine, their secret master is Lucifer, or i.e. Satan, the devil of the Bible, the serpent of the Garden of Eden, they admit that they worship Lucifer, so that this is a Luciferian or a Satan-worshipping, revering world government that's coming, and here we have the Bible told us this. Even if you just take the book of Revelation, The Bible told us this, prophesied by the Apostle John through a vision that where he talked with Jesus about what would come to pass in the last days, and we have a 2,000-year-old prophecy clearly spelling out the scenario of an end-time world government led by two men with 10 kings, with great men and rich men and mighty men and captains of armies, and that they would come together. They would be against the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be against him. They would be anti-Christ. And then they would cause everyone, once they got this world government, they would cause all everyone, great and small, rich and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or the forehead as a pledge of allegiance, also as a way to control, be controlled, or control the population through surveillance. But it says, the Bible is very clear in Romans 13 that everyone would be caused by these two individuals to take a mark in their right hand or forehead, and that if you don't take this, you will not be able to buy or sell. And if you refuse this system, you can even be killed or marched off to a prison camp. Now, the Bible foretold this 2,000 years ago, and we're seeing our leaders talk about this very thing at this moment, world leaders. And really, for the last, we're going to go back more than 20, 30 years. We're going to go back to Bush's dad. We have some clips tonight from Bush's dad, from we're going to play some an amazing clips from an amazing speech of Walter Cronkite, who was the most beloved news anchor in American history, but we know was a liberal. He was a proponent all of his life of world government, of world socialism and communism, and you're going to be amazed when you hear him receiving an award at the World Federation Association, an organization. Fully, their full purpose is to implement a world government through the United Nations by making some changes in the veto power and different things of that nature. You will be shocked that he spells out that back, and this was a speech back in 1996 at the World Federation Association Awards Banquet, and he was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, Walter Cronkite was, and it's just amazing that he also pinpoints that the ones standing in the way of this Luciferian world government, this satanic world government, are the right-wing religious nuts, the Christians, the Christian coalition. He even names them, and basically you can hear the disdain in his voice. So I hope and pray that you stay tuned tonight. I think you're going to find out from the scriptures and from what's been going on in your government and in world leaders and their plans, you're going to find out that we're much further along in this process than many of you ever dreamed that we could be. But right now, we're going to take a break for just a minute, and when we come back, we're going to come back with the news with Pastor Billy Painter, Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News, just going to do the headlines, and then we will get into the meat of this tonight. And I hope you stay with us. We've got some awesome quotes from Bush 41 and from Walter Cronkite and even the European president that will bring it on into our time now that I believe are going to really, really shock you how far that we are along. But anyway, we're going to be back in just a minute. Again, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, your host tonight. Stay with us. Call someone, email someone, Facebook someone. Say, hey, you need to listen to this tonight. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Join us this Sunday morning at Fire and Grace Church right here in the Opelika, Auburn area. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30 a.m. and we go live on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. We would love to see you there. Our website is fireandgracechurch.org. Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Good evening. These are some of the headlines this evening on Prophecy Quake. The Methodists are hearing a split in their church over same-sex marriage issues. Mormon Senator Mike Lee from Utah and heretic huckster televangelist Joel Osteen met with the Popopotamus to discuss the common grounds between the denominations and to further the concept of one world religion. This past Sunday, for the first time ever, Islamic prayers and the readings of the Quran took place at the Vatican. Transgendered priest to give sermon at the Washington National Cathedral. Contrasting sites in Israel, the women of Shiloh are creating the massive veil that split in two when Jesus died on the cross. They are doing this in preparation for the building of Israel's third temple. At the same time, this is happening. In Tel Aviv, they are celebrating sodomy by covering its municipal building with the rainbow colors of the homosexual movement. What a contrast indeed. Judges recently in England were fooled by a computer program in thinking that it was in fact a human. The transhuman agenda is going steadily forward. Senator John Kerry dismissed the argument by many that the releasing of the five Taliban Gitmo detainees put any other U.S. troops at risk. Extremists from the Al-Qaeda offshoot Islamic State and Syria, acronym ISIS, have captured the capital of northern Iraq. Interesting play on the group's name, ISIS. Recently, the United States has sent stealth bombers to European areas closer to the irritated areas in the world for a quicker response. heresy in the church, transhuman agenda, and the sounds of the drums of war, they do continue. And the beat goes on as we see prophecy before our eyes happening each and every day. This has been The News. I'm Pastor Billy Painter. Stay tuned for more of Prophecy Quake.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter. We're back with Prophecy Quake, and I'm Pastor Dean Odle, your host tonight, here with Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter, and we're just blessed to be with you tonight and to get into this subject. Of course, our subject title tonight is The Coming World Government and Their Worship of Lucifer. So we're going to get into that tonight. So first of all, though, before we do anything, let's get into the scriptures first. If you have your Bibles or you're turning in your phone or your iPad, turn to Psalm 2. We're going to read for Psalm 2, verses 1 through 5 first, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter 17 and read some there. I'm going to give you a second. I want everyone to see this. And Psalm 2, just so you know, is a messianic prophecy about Jesus. It's pretty awesome. It's a short psalm. We won't read the whole thing, but it's about the coming of Jesus, even the wrath, and it talks about kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But he talks about this end time context, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. He says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Now, the term anointed there can mean two. There's two entities in the world that are considered the Lord's anointed. Number one is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on that cross and rose from the dead. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, and the word Christ means anointed. Messiah also is translated anointed. And then the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the born-again believers, are the anointed ones before the Lord of the whole earth. So he says that these rulers will take counsel together. That means they will conspire together. They will take counsel together against the Lord. Now, this word Lord here in the Hebrew is the word for Jehovah, or as we would pronounce it in English, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the Creator, Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai, the one true God, and who is one Lord but expresses himself in three manifestations of Father, Yahweh, Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's not three gods. He's not three entities. He's one God with three parts, just like a man. We were created in his image. He didn't create three Deans or three Kevins or three Billies. He created one man with three parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body. So this is the God we're talking about, the God of creation, the God who made Adam and Eve in the garden, the God who warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we know that there's another entity that came into the garden, the serpent, known as Satan, known as Lucifer. His original name in Hebrew was not Lucifer, it was Hallel. But the bright one, the morning star, he was an angel. He was beautiful. He was, I believe, the worship leader in heaven, one of the archangels. He comes into the picture, corrupts man, says, you shall not, you know, did God say you shall not eat of the, all the trees in the garden? And, of course, we know the story. He tempted Eve. He said, you know that the days that when you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you will be as gods. You will be your own God. You will have spiritual insight into spiritual knowledge. You will know the mystery of the mysteries of good and evil. You will see things you weren't meant to see. And so Eve partook. She disobeyed God. She rebelled. She sinned. She gave to her husband Adam. He sinned and rebelled and plunged the human race into this mess that we are now seeing. And what is amazing about that story is here we are. You know, people want to say that the Bible and the Old Testament stories are myths, and they want to say that. But it's amazing that we start out with that story, and we end, the book of Revelation ends, and is ending with this story. And I'm going to read from Revelation 12 just quickly. In Revelation 12, 7 through 10, he says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," or Satan, "and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So we see this spiritual warfare between God and Satan in the Garden of Eden over the souls of man to get man to either be submitted to his creator or to get man to try to become his own God, his own way, through sin and rebellion. And we see in the end, this war is coming to a completion. And here's what I preach this and been preaching this for 27 years, and I am still in awe that we are living in the time, the last years, the culmination of the ages of God's plan of redemption, of the final battles between Satan and God and God's people against the wicked. We're coming into the final spiritual battle that's going to get very physical for many, and it already is really for many people. And people want to doubt the Bible. And the Bible, what's amazing, you go back into these so-called Old Testament myths and fables, and yet there's all these things in there, these prophecies about nations and about how nations will rise and fall and how things will happen and how it will all map out at the end. And we're watching it map out exactly like the Bible says. Why anyone would doubt the Word of God and the true Creator, I don't know. I don't understand, except for one thing. The Bible says if the gospel is hid, our gospel, the message of Yahweh, the message of Jehovah, the message of Jesus Christ, that he's the only way to be forgiven of sin, he's the only way to be freed from the powers of Satan who's deceiving this whole world, the only way that you don't get it is that the Bible says Satan has blinded your mind, lest you should believe, and that you love your sin more than you are willing to love God. And that just really is what it comes down to. You love this world more than you love the idea of knowing your Creator and entering into eternal life and just righteousness, wanting to do the right things, the moral things, the godly things, instead of the satanic, evil, wicked things that this world offers you. So I know we kind of jumped there, but again, it's the bookends of the story, and we're at the end. You know, we had the beginning, and now we're at the end. It's the same thing. It's the war. And what's the devil telling these people? Follow me, worship me, bow down to me, and you can be your own gods. You can have your own way. You can disobey God and live forever. And really, you know, this is not the subject tonight, but the whole transhumanism movement of using technology and drugs and nanotech and everything else to enhance the human body, what these people are trying to do, and we'll have a show about that pretty soon, but what these people are trying to do is basically build their own Tower of Babel through technology, in the sense that they are trying to create eternal life without God. And this is what Satan is offering the elite of this world. Follow me and get rid of these Christians, get rid of these people, these useless eaters, as Henry Kissinger called us. Get rid of these people, and you elite people can have the technology, and we can have eternal life and create a utopia of where we bring all religions together, or rather we just disperse with all that and worship the angel of light, the light bearer, Lucifer. And we'll get into that a little more. But let's go back to our scripture here in Psalm 2. I didn't finish reading. He says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Basically, we don't want any of his rules. We don't want his ways. And it says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." So this is talking about the time we're about to enter into, the great tribulation, the outpouring of God's wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. But before that, let's go to Revelation 17 and see also where we see that these world leaders will come together and have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. You say, well, who's this beast? Well, we'll find that out in a second. But this is in Revelation 17. We're just going to drop down to verse 12 through 14 and read this. He says, "The ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." So that is Revelation 17. Now we see, you say, that is talking about a 10 kings that are going to come together with one purpose and give their power and authority to one beast. Now what is this beast? Let's back up to Revelation 13 and read about this beast that he's talking about. Now remember, he saw a vision, but now we know the interpretation of this vision. And he says in Revelation 13, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns were ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." So we see these ten kings here represented as ten horns, and they have ten crowns to show us that they're kings. But they are, their names, the heads of them, have the names of blasphemy. Now, blasphemy means they speak irreverently against the true God and his Messiah, Jesus Christ. They don't want any part of him. And verse 2, he says, "And the beast which you saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," or Satan, "gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." A lot of people think that this is the Antichrist is going to receive a deadly wound and be raised back from the dead. But we're talking about a beast here with seven heads and ten horns, and one of his heads were wounded to death. So this is not talking about the Antichrist being killed and then being resurrected to mimic Jesus being killed and being resurrected. But we'll get into that a little more. It says, "And they worshiped the dragon." Now, this is a key tonight because we're talking about the coming world government and their worship of Lucifer. And he's talking about this beast that comes together, seven heads, ten horns, looks like a bear, a leopard. And, of course, what this is, these different animals are representing of nations. Now, I don't have time tonight, I'm not getting into this, but in Daniel 7, he foretold the rise of these different nations. And he talked about one was a lion that had eagle's wings until the eagle's wings were plucked. And we know that the lion in that story is England, and their symbol is a lion. We know that the eagle's wings, we're the eagle, we were plucked out of the lion. Then he talks about the bear with three ribs in its mouth that went to devour much flesh. That is the rise of the Russians and the communist revolution, the Bolsheviks, when they devoured much flesh throughout all Europe. Then we see the leopard with four heads. again, not time to get into this fully tonight, but it represents Germany and the United European Union. But he said you would see these nations rise. And again, Daniel 7 says that these are nations that would rise in the last days. So those, he wasn't talking about nations that were on the earth back then. That's just a correct, incorrect interpretation to say that they were nations like Babylon and Media-Persia and all that. Because that's in chapter 8, we see the ram with two horns is Media-Persia, and we see that the goat was Greece. Didn't have anything, the 7 had nothing to do with chapter 8. But anyway, we see this end-time beast, the body of a leopard, he has the feet of a bear, he has the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we see here what the Bible is telling us from Daniel 7, these animals represent nations. And we're seeing here in Revelation 13 that these nations will unite. Well, what is that called now? The United Nations. And it's amazing because the beasts that it names are really the main players. We see the bear, the Russian, the European Union. We see the leopard, the European Union, the lion, England, which is separate from the European Union. A lot of people don't realize that. Never bought in fully. But it says here that they will worship the dragon and their power, and Satan is the dragon, Lucifer the dragon, and that they will worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they will say, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So we see here that we have the Bible foretold this uniting of nations, that it would worship Lucifer, Satan, that it would begin to rise up against the Lord of the Bible and against the followers of Jesus, and that it would eventually, as Revelation, the end of Revelation says, it would eventually bring together a mark in the right hand or forehead to control everybody. And if you don't take that mark, you won't be able to buy or sell, and you are marked for death or prison camps to be reeducated. So here's that's what the Bible says. Now, you know, I've been talking a bit here, but, you know, Pastor Billy, Pastor Kevin, I mean, you guys want to add anything in here before we go on a little further?
No, I mean, what is amazing to me personally is that we can see these things transpiring on a day-to-day basis, but yet the influx of deception that has come into the church world, there's so many that don't have their eyes affixed upon these signs. And it just amazes me. I mean, people don't even want to study the book of Revelation. Some that do study it don't even have an understanding of it. And that's why this evening's broadcast is so paramount, that I hope the people that are out there listening actually research this even further and open their eyes up to the things that are going on right before our very eyes, because we are truly in the end times, and these things are going to continue to happen, and things are going to get worse and worse. So as we talked about last week, preparedness is paramount.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about you were talking about the book of Revelation, and I know for the person that hasn't really studied and been around or heard much preaching about this, the book of Revelation, it is kind of difficult to understand at first. But here's what's interesting about this book. A lot of people miss this part, and I'm going to turn there. This is Revelation chapter 1. There's a special blessing promised for those who read this book, this prophecy, and not only read it, but the Greek verb tenses for read here is a present tense Greek verb, which means an ongoing action that's taking place in the present. So it's something you continue to do. And so that's what happens. I mean, for a lot of these things, I'm still learning and growing. And now, you know, talking about, I've been reading and studying this book since 1987. So, you think about that, and of course I heard it preached some even before that when I was a kid. So I'm working on a lot of years here of trying to understand this, and I'll say this, over the last few years, God has really opened up more and more understanding, and some of it's come from listening to different guys out there preaching on it and teaching on it and gleaning from them, and some of it's been just pure research, and some of it's just been the Holy Spirit just bring just enlighten you.
Amen.
But this is the problem. This is Revelation. We'll just read chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 here, because it's just so powerful. He says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And then, of course, I'm going to skip over a little bit to where he said, you know, Jesus appeared to him, and it says, "And when I saw him," this is verse 17, "I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which you saw or you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So he tells him, you have seen things that are and things that will be hereafter. Write these down, but blessed, truly blessed is the man who will read these things and understand these things and keep the things that are written, meaning obey the instructions you get from this book. And the instructions you get, especially in the first chapters here, in chapter 2 and 3, the rebuke and the corrections to the church were to repent over and over. Repent. Deal with sin. Get the false prophets out. Get yourself ready. Endure unto death if need be. Those instructions, there's plenty of things. I tell people all the time, read it. You know, don't worry about what you don't understand. Try to do what you do understand. And then the Lord can help you with what you don't understand. But God put the book of Revelation. He wanted to see if his people would be diligent to search out the matter, to seek him, to study, to show themselves approved, so that they would understand the book of Revelation. And I believe particularly God wanted the last generation, those who would enter into that time, to understand. That's why I believe there's been a lot of confusion about it up to this point, because I think God himself didn't let some people see some things because it wasn't time to see those things. But we are there now. What's that?
I agree. I said I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. One of the other things I do believe that the Lord has put upon us is that he wants us to take the knowledge that he gives us through his word and through the Holy Spirit and to act upon it, not just sit upon it. A lot of people have great, vast amounts of knowledge in the church world, but they're keeping it to themselves. You know, there's a lot of pastors in the pulpits today that have read Revelation, and they have a good understanding of it, but yet they fail to share that with their congregations. And they fail to do so because of the fear of perhaps offending and or losing some of that congregation. Once again, it goes back to the nickels and noses comment that we've made over and over, which is so very true. And now's not the time for that type of preaching.
Right. Right. Well, let's play a couple of clips here. We're going to get into some quotes here that I have compiled over the last few years especially. But let's see. You know, we just read the Bible, right? We read Psalm 2, we read Revelation 17, we read Revelation 13. We saw where the Bible said the kings of the earth and the great men and the rulers will gather themselves. They will take counsel together against and be against the Lord and against his anointed. We saw where we see these nations coming together in the last days, and finally great power will be given to them over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And we saw in Revelation 17 where he said that these 10 kings that will rise will give their power to the beast. They'll have one mind, one purpose. So we see a conspiracy of the leaders of the world and the rich men and the rulers. And we see that they say they're going to have a world government. They're going to dominate mankind. You're going to be forced to be in a dominated situation in a totalitarian government. So here's the thing. Here's what we've read what the Bible has to say on the subject that would be in the last days. Now what we need to see is it true? Are leaders out there in the world, both in America, Europe, other places, are there leaders within the United Nations and so on who have been advocating a world government for the sovereignty of the United States to be brought down to the ground, and so that the United States can be moved out of the way so that we can have a world federation, a world government via the UN after you change a few things. And so what I'm going to show is you're going to see through some of the quotes, we're going to play a clip first. We're going to go back to the early 1990s because we know that George Herbert Walker Bush, who was vice president under Ronald Reagan, who was also, of course, the 41st president of the United States for one term, we know that he is deeply involved. He was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. He was in Skull and Bones at Yale. We know he was in the CIA. And we also know that he has some connections not only to these secret societies that are satanic and Luciferian in nature, but he has some really, really dark, dark skeletons in some closets that we'll get to later on. But there's no doubt in my mind the Bush family is one of the most evil, satanic, Luciferian families on the face of the earth. Now, a lot of Democrats will go, woo-hoo, he's a Democrat. No, I'm not. I believe Obama and the Clintons and Carter, and so both Republican and Democrats are in this Luciferian conspiracy. Obama's part of it. A lot of people think the problem's just Obama. No, the problem has been going on for a long, long time with a lot of our leaders and corrupt bankers and businessmen and people in government and particularly in academia as well. But anyway, let's play a couple of clips here. The first one, let's just play President Bush's classic discussion. Of course, and you have to understand when these people start talking about the term New Order, New World Order, that's a code word for world government via the UN and the American people being moved out of the way. Now, Bush will say New World Order, and he will mention that the United Nations, and he will talk about the United Nations. We got three different quotes from him. But when we play the clips from Walter Cronkite, he's going to make sure you understand that it's going to be very clear what he's saying. We're looking at Bush probably around 1992. The clips we'll play from Walter Cronkite is a World Federation Awards Banquet in 1996. So you'll see the progression, and then we'll play a clip from the Euro president in 2009. But let's play Bush. This is George Herbert Walker Bush, president, discussing the coming dream of a new world order, a world government, and introducing that concept to Americans and to the world.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order,
In the words of Winston Churchill, a world order in which the principles of justice and fair play protect the weak against the strong. A world where the United Nations, freed from Cold War stalemate, is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
And there you have, that was President Herbert Walker Bush giving you a little introduction of the new world order. Of course, let me preface this, and this is one of the reasons I broke in here. They're always going to talk about bringing peace and security and justice. I want to remind everyone, if you weren't listening last week and the week before when we were talking about the Antichrist, the Bible warns us that the Antichrist, which is the man who will lead this beast world government, he will come, and it says, by peace destroy many. He will come as a man of peace. It is a deception. The lie is that they're going to create a utopia. They're going to create conditions of peace. He talks about, you know, the weak, you know, being pushed around by the strong. Oh, you just might as well flip that around, because the strong, when they get in that place, if you don't agree and you're not as strong as them, you're going to be destroyed. Now, we're going to play the clips from Walter Cronkite's speech, and you'll see where he talks about those who won't go along with the plan will be dealt with. And this is exactly what the Bible says. And we're going to go into Walter Cronkite, World Federation Association Awards, Lifetime Achievement Award Banquet, 1996. Here we go.
You know that we have come to the point of our really being here this evening, and that is to honor with the Norman Cousins Global Governance Award, Walter Cronkite. We are proud to present to you this amethyst geode, and I hope all of you will take the opportunity at the conclusion of the program to come up and examine it. We're not worrying about anybody carrying it off. It's too heavy for me to lift. But it illustrates a very important lesson. The crystals of a geode are formed within another rock that serves as the foundation for their fragile beauty. The rock provides the structure necessary for the crystals to grow. And in similar fashion, world government is the structure necessary for global justice. You, sir. You, sir, have been a lifelong advocate of this principle, and it is appropriate, therefore, that we present you with this amethyst geode.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And there are many of us here who had wished back a couple of decades ago that we had been addressing you as Mr. President in a slightly different environment. And thank you, Mrs. Annan, for those lovely words you spoke. I will treasure them. And I'm greatly honored, quite obviously, by the Norman Cousins Global Governance Award. I'll try to get it right, since I will be referring to it frequently, of course, from now on. There are two reasons, really, why I'm particularly grateful and honored by this award. The first, I believe, as Norman Cousins did, that the first priority of humankind in this difficult era is to establish an effective system of world law that will assure peace with justice among the peoples of all the world. First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. It would take a lot of courage, a lot of faith, a lot of persuasion to them to come along with us on this necessity. Our forefathers believed that the closer the laws are to the people, the better. Cities legislate on local matters, of course. States make decisions on matters within their borders. And the national government deals with issues that transcend the states, such as interstate commerce, foreign relations. That's what we mean by federalism. Today, we must develop federal structures on a global level. To deal with world problems, we need a system of enforceable world law, a democratic federal world government. You know, what Alice is never going to be a perfect world, for heaven's sakes. We all know that. There can't be a world without some disagreement, probably occasional violence. But it will be a world where the overwhelming majority of national leaders will consistently abide by the rule of world law, if we have our way and can sell our program. And those who won't obey the law, the international law with which we'll be governed, are going to be dealt with effectively and with due process of the structures of that same world law. The third point, just consider, if you will, after 55 years, the possibility of a more representative and democratic system of decision-making at the UN. This should include both revision of the veto in the Security Council and adoption of a weighted voting system in the General Assembly. Our organization, the World Federalists, have endorsed Richard Hudson's binding triad proposal. George Soros, in his recent book, The Crisis of Global Capitalism, has given serious attention to this concept, which would be based upon not only the one nation, one vote, but also on population and contributions to the UN budget. Resolutions adopted by majorities in each of these three areas would then be binding, enforceable law. Within the powers given it in the Charter, the UN could then deal with matters of reliable financing, a standing UN peace force, development, the environment, and, of course, human rights. Some of you may ask, although I think most of you know the answer, why the Senate is not ratifying these important treaties and why the Congress is not even paying our UN dues. Even as with the American rejection so many years ago now of the League of Nations after World War I, our failure to live up to our obligations to the United Nations is led by a handful of willful senators who choose to pursue their narrow, selfish political objectives at the cost of our nation's conscience. They pander to and are supported by the Christian Coalition and the rest of the religious right wing. Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Well, you heard it for yourself there. There's Walter Cronkite before the World Federation. And I hope you caught all those little nuances there, particularly what he said in 1996 was what was standing in the way of the UN becoming what they want it to be, a world government, and the United States giving up its sovereignty and to be ruled by the United Nations. What was standing in the way? And they said, oh, a few senators, a few congressmen who pander to and are led around by the Christian coalition and the religious right. And you hear them snicker and you hear them laugh when he mentions Pat Robertson talking about that we should only have world government when the Messiah Jesus comes back. And they laugh. Why do they laugh? Because they're Satan-worshipping, Luciferian, God haters, and they want their own way. And really, folks, you just don't understand. These Luciferians, these Illuminati, Freemasons, all the different little secret society groups, whether it was Freemasons, Scottish Rite, Illuminati, I mean, you could go down the list. The Bonesmen of Skull and Bones, the Rosicrucians, they're abundant, but they all are in agreement, and they've been working in our country for a long time. And what's been standing in their way is that a couple of documents that really irritate them. And number one is the Bible, and people who believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that man should be free to worship God as he sees fit, and freed to have his own home, his own land, to raise his family and his children as he so desires. And, you know, and that other thing in which was based off of biblical truth called the Constitution of the United States of America. And so the Christian people and the influence and prayers and everything else that Christians have had on trying to maintain the American way of life in the sense of freedom of worship, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, you know, the right to private property, the right to due process of law, all the things that we are guaranteed in the Constitution that made us the freest country on the face of, not a perfect country, but there are people working to undermine that, and Christians have known. I have friends that I won't name that are lawyers, that are now judges, and have fought against this satanic encroachment to overthrow the Constitution of the United States, to rid themselves of the Bible and of Christianity, to, like it said in Psalm 2, to cast their cords away, get their bands away from us. We don't want their way. We don't want the Messiah to come and help us fix this planet and this system. We want Lucifer. We want Satan. We want to do it our way. We want to be our own gods. We want anything goes. We want to be sexually immoral. We want to be liars. We want to cheat. We want to take from the poor and make ourselves rich through, you know, weaseling ourselves into power. So this stuff is being pushed, and it's going on right under your nose. I mean, you guys want to add anything to that before we get? I'll give some more quotes here in just a second if you want proof about world leaders pushing this.
No, I think that the two things that kind of, and I've actually heard that Cronkite piece before, and every time I hear it, when I hear Soros's name, I just kind of shake my head. But I tell you, when they snicker at the Christians and what Pat Robertson said, that just blows me away, man.
It's just in your face, isn't it?
It is so much, yeah, very much so. And it continues to be like that today. And in fact, in many ways, it's even worse.
Well, you think that was 1996? My Lord, what is it now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Exactly. You know,
in 2 Peter chapter 3 is pretty powerful little section of scripture here. In verse 3, he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." Why does he tell us to know that first? And it's because our leaders, they're just sitting there scoffing at Jesus coming back and being and rescuing this world from their satanic grip. I mean, there is just no other way to put it other than that they're scoffers, and that Jesus and Apostle Peter speaking here said, "Know this first." And then he goes through a bunch of other stuff talking about what's going to happen in the end times. And we're all in it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, and I, you know, what came back to my mind, as they sat there and laughed about, you know, the Messiah coming back, Jesus coming back, as they laughed when he said, "I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan," and they laughed. And I thought of the, you know, we just read Psalm 2. When it says, "But he who sits in the heavens will laugh." And see, their day is coming, and that's And that is, and it's not a rejoicing thing that I want to say, oh, their day is coming, but I don't like evil. And we, you know, maybe in the next program or in the near future, we can get into what they're really doing. The darkness, the evil, they're the ones behind the child sex trafficking in the world. You know, the British royal family, the Bush family. I mean, we can talk about the Franklin case and the conspiracy of silence documentary that was outlawed in the United States. I mean, we can get down to the nitty gritty and find you'll know these guys are Satanists. We can talk about their little visits to the Bohemian Grove to worship the big 40-foot owl statue Molech over in California, where world leaders come in the summertime every year. So I mean, we can prove that these are some very Satan, Luciferian bent leaders, world leaders, and they just hate the Messiah, Jesus. They hate the Bible, and they hate Christians, and they blaspheme, and they resist, and they despise anything that resembles truth from the Bible. But here's when Psalm 2 says that he who sits in the heavens, the Creator God, he's going to laugh at them. This is their day when he is returning that they're laughing at. And this is Revelation 6, 15 and 17. It says this, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That day is coming. I don't know. I know they're laughing, but the day is coming. They'll be trembling and be wanting to hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks and in the caves. We are definitely living in interesting times. Let's play another clip just to bring it a little forward here. Into 2009, we have the new European president at the time, and you're going to hear a little commentary from the guy who made the video that we're using the little clip here. But I think it's important because let's bring it a little forward here into our a little more recent time. Is it still going on? So here's the European president talking about the first year of global governance began in 2009.
What was once a deep secret among the world's leaders has now gone public with the appointment of Europe's new president. Global government.
We're living through exceptionally difficult times. The financial crisis and its dramatic impact on employment and budgets, the climate crisis which threatens our very survival, a period of anxiety, uncertainty, and lack of confidence. Yet these problems can be overcome by a joint effort in and between our countries. 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
Let's hear that again.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet. Our mission, our presidency, is one of hope, supported by acts and by deeds.
You heard the President of Europe declare that a global government has been created. It's up to us to keep America free and independent. Please take action today.
Well, you heard it there. There was, in 2009, your European President Van Rompuy, or whatever his name is. I'm just doing that by memory. It's something, Van Rompuy or whatever. You hear him talking about this 2009 being the first year of global governance. And he specifically mentioned, of course, the financial crisis of the end of 2008 going into the beginning of 2009, and they formed the G20. And it's amazing, of course, that the financial crisis that these same people created. But, of course, they create problems because they want to come in with their answers, and their answers are always to take away more freedom or more money or more situations. And really, it is the Freemason creed, order out of chaos. They create the chaos so they can bring the new order or the new controls or the new government or the new financial system or whatever. But remember, the Bible foretold we're going to have a global government and we're going to have a new global financial system as well. And so, again, how could someone say that the Bible is not the inspired word of God when it talks about these things so specifically, and we watch them begin to happen in our day, in our time, here 2,000 years removed from Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. But, you know, I'm grateful that he said, I will come again. He's going to come again, and we're entering into that time. Now, listen, what we're going to do right now, we're a little past our first hour, and we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. But you've been listening to Prophecy Quake, and stay tuned.
This is Prophecy Quake, a production of D. Nodal Ministries and Fire and Grace Church. Join us each Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central Time as we explore Bible prophecy, current events, and how these things affect your Christian life.
Mighty, mighty, mighty.
This is Prophecy Quake, a production of Dean Odle Ministries and Fire and Grace Church. Join us each Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central Time as we explore Bible prophecy, current events, and how these things affect your Christian life.
We're back. You're listening to the Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, with my co-host Kevin Wilkinson and Billy Painter. And we're going to continue tonight on this subject of the coming world government and their worship of Satan. And we've got to get in to some of these other quotes. And I want to show you and I want to prove to you that deeply embedded within the United Nations and their leaders and some of these other leaders, they openly say that they are worshiping Lucifer. Now, when I say openly, they don't just walk around and say it, and they're not as bold, quite as bold as Walter Cronkite there, but in his quote. But we will see that they tell you the teachings and the spiritual philosophies that they have and their spiritual leaders, and when you look at their spiritual leaders, you find out that these people have flipped the coin, and they tell you that it's Lucifer that they worship. But before we get into that, let's just listen to a few more quotes. This is coming up into our time. This is a quote I'm about to read to you from Christopher Walter Monckton, or Lord Monckton. He is a British politician. He's affiliated with the UK Independence Party. He was a former advisor to UK Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and was a special advisor to Thatcher's Downing Street policy unit in the 1980s. Now, he has been taking a real bold stand against this push toward world government. And he was recently speaking about the UN climate treaty, and really, well, just a few years ago. And this is what he said. He said, "I read that treaty, the UN climate treaty, and what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is to transfer of wealth from countries of the West to third world countries, and the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement." And then he adds this, "This is not just any government, mind you. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world." So what he was saying is they are going to create a dictatorship that dictates to everything you do economically, and whether you have freedom of worship or not. So what Lord Monckton is saying here, and I don't even know if he's a Christian, he may not be at all, but he knows that they are pushing this. So this UN climate treaty that I think recently, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Obama has signed on to or is getting ready to sign on to, but this is the treaty he's talking about. And he said in the first three lines, he said, this thing says that a world government is going to be created. And for those of you out there, make no mistake that Obama is fully on board. He is the puppet chosen by the Freemason Illuminati masters. He's the puppet chosen at this time to take us even further down this road. There's no question. Let's go to another quote. This is going back to a Bilderberger meeting in Evian, France. And this is in May of 1992, and I know we're backing up a little bit, but this is Henry Kissinger. Now, what makes this pertinent is because Henry Kissinger was so excited he was about to wet himself when Obama got elected, because he said he saw this as a great opportunity to create this new world order. And this is what he a quote from him during this Bilderberger meeting that got smuggled out in 1992. And he said this about America. He said, "Today Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether it's real or deception." He says that threatened our existence. "It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil." And see, he's referring to, I believe, the coming alien hoax of the fallen angels and Satan that are going to play on the world. But he says this. He said, "The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government." Now that is, of course, Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, and really an advisor to almost every president since Nixon. But here's a quote from John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy, this was the President and the Press speech. Some have tried to debunk this and said he was talking about communism, but no, he wasn't talking about communism. He says this, though. This is John F. Kennedy. He said, "We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day." Now, let me stop right there. The communists used armies. So let's not even go there. He wasn't talking to me. He's talking about secret organizations working behind the scenes, powerful men and women. And he says, "This is a system," he said, "which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations." Now, we know that he obviously decided he didn't want to be part of this and that he took a stand to somewhat against it. And we know what happens when you have that much power and authority and you take a stand against these guys. They put a bullet in your head unless you have divine intervention. And so that's exactly what happened to John F. Kennedy. Now, let's go on down a little further. Let's back up and go back to 1950. Now, this is a man that most people won't remember. Of course, I never heard of him because I wasn't born until 1967. But James Paul Warburg. Now, he's significant because his father was one of the founders of the Federal Reserve. But here is what he said in July, on July 17, 1950, in a Senate hearing in front of the U.S. Senate, right? In 1950, he stated to them, "We shall have world government, whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent." So there's James Paul Warburg saying it right there. Let's see, here's a quote. This is Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said this, quote, "I firmly believe that the majority of peoples in the world would prefer to live in peace and security." Now, again, don't get us wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have peace and security. But again, we know that this is the lie that's going to be told to get this control over mankind, okay? And he says, "Mankind's desire for peace can be realized only by the creation of a world government." So whether that was just his heart belief or he was in with these gentlemen, I can't really tell you. But we do know that Albert Einstein said that. Now, here's John F. Kennedy. This was 7 days before his assassination. John F. Kennedy said this. He said, "There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high office, I intend to expose this plot." 7 days later, he's a dead man. Here's another one. This is Georgia Congressman Larry McDonald. Now, he was a congressman between 1975 and 1983, and he was known for his staunch opposition to communism. He believed in a long-standing covert efforts by the Trilateral Commission and other powerful U.S. groups to bring about a socialism, bring about socialism in a world government. I mean, this guy foresaw where we were headed with, you know, Obamacare and everything else, the socialism that's just taken over America. But he said that he believed and knew that the socialism was going to push us toward a world government. Now, he also happened to be a cousin of General George S. Patton. I just thought that was interesting. But here's what he stated, Georgia Congressman Larry McDonald. He stated, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies, now these are the powerful bankers, the Illuminati families, he says, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining super-capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean a conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. Now, the reason that we don't have Congressman Larry McDonald with us today is because he got on board an airliner, a Korean Airlines 007, and was shot down by Soviet fighter jets over international waters. Do I believe that they killed everyone on the plane to kill that congressman right there? Yes, I do. Call me a nut if you want to. Not a coincidence. We have a dead president. We have a dead congressman who stood up. Now, so he named David Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, in this conspiracy of world leaders, and this was in the 1970s. So fast forward to 2002. David Rockefeller writes a book called his memoirs, 2002, on page 405. Here's what David Rockefeller admitted, that Larry McDonald was telling the truth, but now that we're far enough along now that they're just coming out with it. He said this, quote, this is from David Rockefeller's memoirs, 2002, page 405. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. So you can no longer say that this is a conspiracy theory. This man admits, yes, we have conspired to create a one-world government and a one-world financial system, and then we find out that they want to do it through the United Nations. And then once we delve into these guys, we find out that they're either Freemason, Illuminati, they all have the secret doctrine of Lucifer worship embedded in their core. That's their core belief system. Let's go to another one here. This is Richard N. Gardner in The Hard Road to World Order. This is Foreign Affairs Magazine, 1974. I believe he had also been involved. I think he had worked with several administrations and presidential administrations in the United States. And he'd also been president of foreign affairs or something. I don't know. But anyway, this is a quote from him in this magazine here. All right. And this is what he says. He says, in short, the house of world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. He said it will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality. But at the end, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Of course, for political as well as administrative reasons, some of these specialized arrangements should be brought into an appropriate relationship with the central institutions of the United Nations system. But the main thing is that the essential functions be performed. So there you have another prominent leader saying this. We're just going to continue. Richard N. Haass, he was the president of the Council on Foreign Relations back in 2006. He said this. He said, the goal should be to redefine sovereignty for the era of globalization, to find a balance between a world of fully sovereign states and an international system of either world government or anarchy. And basically what that is a threat. We will have our world government, or we will throw the world into chaos. Another one that's a very popular guy, his name is Strobe Talbot. He was Deputy Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, but he was also Bill Clinton's roommate at college and as a Rhodes Scholar there. And here's what he said, and this was in Time magazine, July 20th, 1992. He said, in the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. We will find out national sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. Oh, boy. And it just goes on and on and on. But I want you to see there's been a common theme. These guys start using the term world government, new world order, global governance. They got all these different little words for the same thing. But do you notice that they all say we've got to change the UN? The UN's got to be given a different voting structure. We've got to do away with the veto power. We've got to, you know, let them fulfill their charter, have a sufficient budget, have a sufficient peacekeeping force. That means have a sufficient army to enforce this world dictatorship. But what most people don't realize is the spiritual side. Now, I want to give you one more quote from Bush 41, George Herbert Walker Bush, before we look at the spiritual side of the United Nations. A lot of people don't know there's a meditation room inside the United Nations building in New York. But we're going to find out their philosophies. But Bush said this. This is President Herbert Walker Bush addressing the United Nations, and he said this. Now, you got to grasp this statement. He said, it is the sacred principles enshrined in the UN Charter to which we will henceforth pledge our allegiance. So here we have this conglomeration of world leaders, politicians, wealthy bankers and businessmen, always pointing to the UN, pointing to a world government, pointing to this new system. But do they, so we've proved that, and we could just do them just, you know, forever. I mean, we could talk about Admiral Chester Ward was in the Council on Foreign Relations for nearly 20 years, and when he finally left it, he said, these men are trying to undo the sovereignty of the United States and create a world government. And so, you know, he became an enemy of this cause. But there's a spiritual side to the UN that a lot of people don't know about. And what we have to know is there's three parts. Number one, there's an entity that is a non-governmental organization, the chief publisher of the United Nations, and that entity is called the Lucis Trust. And for those of you out there that want to look it up yourself, it's Lucis Trust. Now, it was formerly called the Lucifer Trust. Yes, you heard me correctly. This publishing company that became is part of the United Nations and on councils and boards within the United Nations and has an office in the United Nations was known as the Lucifer Publishing Company. It was founded by a woman named Alice Bailey, who's going to be a very important figure. So you have this entity as part of the United Nations, an office within the United Nations, their publishing company, founded by Alice Bailey, changed the name from Lucifer Publishing Company to the Lucius Trust because it was a little too obvious. And then, of course, we know that they have a meditation room in the UN to recite her great meditation, her great prayer to bring about this new world leader. And then there's another group called the Aquarian Age Community, and they are literally known as the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. You can look these people up. I mean, I went to their website. This is not a conspiracy website. This is not a hearsay. I went to these people's website. Now, here's what the Wikipedia tells us about the Lucis Trust. This organization was originally founded in the 1920s by the well-known occultist Alice Bailey. Yes, occultist means Satan worshiper, spiritualist, one acquainted with demons and into all forms of black arts and black magic. It says, this well-known occultist, Alice Bailey, founded this organization in the 1920s. The trust is recognized by the United Nations as a non-governmental organization, NGO, and is represented at regular briefing sessions at the UN. The Lucis Trust is also a member of the UN Economic and Social Council. I find that interesting. And until recently, the Lucis Trust was located at 666 United Nations Plaza. But again, they changed that because it's a little too obvious. So that is a little synopsis on the Lucis Trust. Now, it was founded by Alice Bailey. Now, who is Alice Bailey? Well, Alice Bailey was a disciple of the occultist or the theosophist, as you would say, Helen Blavatsky. Now, Helen Blavatsky is the one actually who started the first periodical magazine called Lucifer, okay? And it says that Alice Bailey was a disciple of Helen Blavatsky. She channeled a spirit guide, or what we know as a demon, that called itself the Tibetan master Dwal Ko. Bailey taught that the world spiritual teacher would soon appear and lead the world into the age of Aquarius, and it was the task of her disciples to prepare the way for his imminent appearance. So she wrote many books that she channeled through this demon, and her organization, the Lucis Trust, is deeply embedded in the United Nations and revered, and she is revered and her writings are revered as the spiritual core of the United Nations. I'm going to prove that. But first, let's look at what her teacher taught her, her disciple, her mentor, Helen Blavatsky. Now, Helen Blavatsky, her most important work that she did was a book called The Secret Doctrine by Helen Blavatsky. This is what she said, and I'm going to give you quotes, and Christians out there listening to me, please don't cringe, but this is literally from her book, The Secret Doctrine. She says this, quote, Lucifer represents life, thought, progress, civilization, liberty, independence. Lucifer is the Logos, she says, the serpent, the savior. Now, do you hear that? Helen Blavatsky taught and trained Alice Bailey, who is now the spiritual mother, the spiritual prophetess of the United Nations. And this woman said that Lucifer is the savior, the serpent. She went on to say that was on pages 171, 225, and 255 in volume 2. In pages 215, 216, 220, and 245 of volume 6, she said this. She said, it is Satan who is the God of our planet and the only God. Wow. I mean, I just sometimes it just takes my breath away. I'm just speechless. That, right? Here's another quote from page 539 of The Secret Doctrine. She says, the celestial virgin, which thus becomes the mother of gods and devils at one and the same time, for she is the ever-loving deity. But in antiquity and reality, Lucifer is the name. Lucifer is divine and terrestrial light, the Holy Ghost and Satan at one and the same time. This, you want to talk about blasphemy. This woman says that Satan and the Holy Ghost are one and the same time. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. This woman does it. But folks, understand what I'm saying to you. The United Nations is embedded with the teachings and the doctrines of a Helen Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, her disciple. And they plainly say that Lucifer is the God that you should follow. Lucifer is the light bearer. Now remember, the Bible warned that Satan would come as an angel of light to deceive people. And he does. He deceives these people, and he's deceived them into thinking that he is God, that he's going to rescue them. If you have any doubts, of course, that this is just a theory and that I'm trying to connect too many dots here, if you go to the Lucius Trust, and it's just lucistrust.org, you can go to their arcane school and you can find what they call the esoteric meaning of Lucifer. Now, this is straight from the Lucius Trust, and it says, and they talk about this, where they say that Alice Bailey is the one and that Lucifer is the one, and they switch it around and say that Lucifer is the spiritual one that we should follow. He's the light bearer, not the God of the Bible, not Jesus Christ. And this is on their site that pushes the fact that they are big time part of the United Nations. So this is not made up. Matter of fact, I'm looking at their websites right now, Lucius Trust. And you just, your mind's just blown away. But let's take it a step further. And I hope Pastor Kevin and Pastor Billy don't mind. I got to run with this because we're running out of time to prove the point here. But there was a man named Robert Mueller. Now, he passed away in 2010. And he was born March 11th, 1923. He died September 20th of 2010. But he was an international civil servant with the United Nations. Now, he was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations for 40 years. Now, did y'all hear that? And I know I said y'all, but we are in Alabama. But did you hear that? So this is not someone, you know, the general, the Secretary General, gets voted in and out. You know, they change every so many years. But this guy was the Assistant Secretary General for 40 years. His ideas about world government, world peace, and spirituality led to the increased representation of religions in the UN, especially the New Age movement. He was known by some as the philosopher of the United Nations. I heard other people call him the prophet of the United Nations. He created what's called the World Core Curriculum. Now, this is back in the 1980s. He created a World Core Curriculum. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't there something common core curriculum now? But he created this World Core Curriculum that earned him the UNESCO Prize for Peace Education in 1989. The World Core Curriculum helped inspire the growing global education movement. More than 30 Robert Mueller schools were founded throughout the world, including Life School in Guatemala, whereupon students have gone to pursue degrees in international affairs. Now, in the preface of his World Core Curriculum, Robert Mueller, the 40-year advocate of world government, Assistant Secretary General to the United Nations, who I guess decided if we're going to have this world government, we're going to have to re-educate a generation of young people. So he creates a World Core Curriculum to lead people into this this world government and this false peace movement. And in the preface of the World Core Curriculum, Robert Mueller makes it clear who and what his global education system is based on. Quote, he says, "The underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School is based will be found in the teaching set forth in the books of Alice Bailey. The school is now certified as a United Nations Associated School providing education for international cooperation and peace." He is saying this won him a peace award. He's created a school based on the teachings of Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucifer Publishing Company, who channels a demon named Dwalkal, who teaches people to meditate and to chant and to visualize until they enter into a spiritual encounter, and she calls it connect with the Christ consciousness. But it's not the Christ Jesus of the Bible. It is the false Christ, the deceiver, the angel of light, Lucifer. But they tell you, ultimately, that it is Lucifer who is God, the Savior, the light. So, folks, hear what I'm saying tonight. These people in the United Nations, These people who have backed the United Nations and paid for the United Nations and donated land, the Rockefellers and the Morgans and all these different people, they worship Lucifer. The Freemasons, when you get down to Manly P. Hall and Albert Pike, the great Freemasons of the late 1800s and the early 1900s, they admit in their books, they admit in Morals and Dogma, they admit in other places that once you get past the basic levels of Freemasonry, you discover the secret doctrine, which is the secret doctrine that Helen Blavatsky revealed. The secret doctrine to them is all of this, all the funny little rituals of the Freemasonry and all the weird little games they play at Skull and Bones and everything, all the little oaths they took. These are just gradual steps to get people to the place, if they pass the test, to get people to the place where they really discover, as Manly P. Hall said it, the surging powers of Lucifer in their hands. See, folks, all the powerful people in the world have bowed the knee, and it's Lucifer they're worshiping, and these people are pushing a world government. And they're worshiping Lucifer, and they're preparing the world to force the world to worship Lucifer's man, the Antichrist, their beast, the world government, and even Lucifer himself. There's going to be that push. Do you hear what I'm saying? You ought to just pause for a second. The Bible told us the kings, the rulers, the rich men, the mighty men, the chief captain would get together. We don't want anything to do with the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, and his Christ. Cast their cords away from us. We don't want that. The Bible told us 2,000 years ago they're going to get together and form a world government. They're going to cause everyone to come under a new economic system and be chipped. They're going to be controlled and tracked. If you don't submit, pledge allegiance to the new beast, the world government, the United Nations, if you don't pledge allegiance to the coming leader, the Antichrist, and his false prophet, the Pope, if you don't claim allegiance to them and submit and walk away from what they call this nonsense of Christianity, this religious right, this crazy, you know, exclusive religion that says Jesus Christ is the only, if you don't walk away from that, we're going to either kill you or put you in prison. To re-educate you. This is happening, folks. And here's what's scary. People don't want to believe this. But there's UN troops and UN vehicles being photographed and witnessed all over America. Now, why are there UN troops and vehicles all over America already? What are they getting ready for? Well, I can tell you what they're getting ready for. They're getting ready to collapse us and to take over. Now, folks, here's another thing. Let's just look at this Aquarian Age community real quick. Now, remember, I said this Aquarian Age community. Look them up, the Aquarian Age community. When you hit their page, their homepage, it's going to tell you, known as the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. Well, I'm going to tell you who my foundation is. Right? There is no other foundation, Paul said, than can be laid than Jesus Christ. Jesus is my foundation. But this says the spiritual foundation of the United Nations is the Aquarian Age community. Well, they must be some really super dedicated disciples to Blavatsky and to Bailey. And we do find out that they agree with the Lucis Trust. Because guess what? The Aquarian Age community was founded by guess who? The Lucis Trust, right? So they're founded by the Lucis Trust, or Lucifer Publishing Company, that's within the United Nations. Now this group is called the Spiritual Foundation of the United Nations. They're an NGO. They are consultants in an association with the United Nations Department of Public Information. And get this, the Aquarian Age community's website is sponsored by the UN, the United Nations. And here's what they describe as their mission. This is the mission described by the Aquarian Age community by a website sponsored by the United Nations, they say they are preparing the way for the imminent appearance of the world spiritual teacher. They're preparing the way for one man to lead us to the light of Lucifer. Come on, somebody, tell me something. I know y'all got something to say after all that.
Well, one thing I want to add in here is, you know, talking about what I mentioned before about people need to open their eyes up. Right now we've got the UN gaining power and presence. We've got Muslim jihadists all around the world. We've got a Jesuit in the Vatican. And our very own government and courts are saturated in Freemasonry. Open your eyes, people. Open your eyes.
Well, here's another one. This is, if folks don't believe me, I mean, just the Aquarian Age community, right, had a large meeting in New York in 2001. And this meeting was completely dedicated to, the quote, the reappearance of the world spiritual teacher. And in their report of the meeting, they said, and I quote, "The world spiritual teacher is known by many different names in the various religious and spiritual traditions of the world. This great being is referred to by such names as the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, the Thinker, the Healer, the True Aquarian, the Pilgrim, the Imam Mahdi, and the Batsava." So they are plainly saying there is a man coming who's going to be a great being. He's going to be the reincarnation. He's going to be the incarnation of the Christ spirit, the Lord Maitreya of the Buddhist, the fifth Buddha. He's going to be the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims. He's going to be, you know, Krishna for the Hindus. He's going to be the embodiment of the Messiah spirit. And he's going to lead us and lead the world into a time of peace. Anybody out there believe that Lucifer will really lead us to peace? Lucifer, the rebel, the fallen angel, the hater of humanity. No, I'm sorry, not gonna happen, right?
You know, earlier you talked about them bringing about confusion and stuff all over the world. You know, it just makes me think about what's going on in Ukraine and over in, around Europe and the Middle East and all, and how the confusion of all of that, how they're causing these wars and these massive killings of people to set up for this guy to come and bring peace to the world. And it's, you know, by peace he'll destroy many. And I mean, there's just, you can't get away from that aspect with these guys. I mean, they're talking about this Maitreya, this world teacher, he's everything to everybody, and he's going to destroy everybody.
Wow.
Amen.
Let's just read this right here. I mean, this is, I just got finished reading a great book that I would recommend to anybody. It's called The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith. Great book. Really kind of ties all of this together. I mean, it's a short book. It's not exhaustive, but it really hits the high points and gets into some of this. He quotes Blavatsky in here, The Secret Doctrine, another part, and here's what he says. Let me read what Dr. Monty says about Helen Blavatsky. He says, Helena Provona Blavatsky became a Mason first and later channeled the three volumes of her book, The Secret Doctrine. That means she channeled, a demon channeled them through her. Adolf Hitler, Margaret Sanger, Thomas Edison, William T. Stead, Arthur Conan Doyle, Henry Wallace and many others read her books and embraced her philosophy. Her beliefs are the basis of Alice Bailey's writings, The Lucis Trust, and the New Age Movement. In Volume 2 of The Secret Doctrine, Madame Helena Blavatsky wrote, "In this case, it is but natural to view Satan, the serpent of Genesis, as the real creator and the benefactor, the father of spiritual mankind, for it is he who was the harbinger of light, bright, radiant Lucifer, who opened the eyes of the automaton created by Jehovah, as alleged, and he who was the first to whisper, 'In the day you eat thereof, you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil,' can only be regarded in the light of a Savior." Now, did you hear that? And he says, "And now it stands proven that Satan, or the red fiery dragon, the Lord Phosphorus, and Lucifer, or light bearer, is in us. It is in our mind, our tempter, our redeemer, our intelligent liberator, and Savior from pure animalism. Without this principle, we would be surely no better than animals." So, she, again, this is the teachings within the United Nations, and I just got to read this just as we close here because we're running out of time tonight. But this is their plan was laid out in New Age magazine in 1950. And here's what they say. "The plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan, dedicated to the new order of things, is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new religion, a non-sectarian religion that has already been recognized and called the great religion of the great light. Looking back into history, we can easily see that the guiding hand of providence has chosen the Nordic people to bring and unfold the new order of the world. Providence has chosen the Nordics because the Nordics prepared themselves and have chosen God." Now, of course, the God they're talking about is the God of this world, the little g, Satan. Folks, there it is. We have not even scratched the surface of world leaders and their quotes about world government, their quotes about spirituality. We have now the Pope. We have the Pope, a Mormon senator, and Joel Osteen, America's, you know, pastor of America's largest church. We have them joining with the Pope and knowing that the Pope has said that even atheists can go to heaven if they do good works. And who am I to judge homosexuals? And I'd baptize an alien. And all these other things that this Pope is really even departing from some of the traditional teachings of Roman Catholicism. Not to mention just the Bible and basic foundational Christianity, but the universalism, the idea that we're going to bring all religions and beliefs together under one tent to have a world government and a world religion, and we're going to force everybody. And if you are sectarian or you say, no, it's not all religions lead to God, it's Jesus Christ. There is one way to heaven. The other ways lead to hell and eternal damnation. You're going to be looked at as an outcast. Well, I mean, you already are. But the pressure is going to be on. You're actually going to become, in this new world government, the Christian will become, that stands up and says, no, I don't believe in universalism and pluralism and that all religions lead to God and that this light is Lucifer and it's okay to worship Lucifer and that Lucifer and the Holy Ghost, the same thing. I don't believe all this foolish New Age Freemason, Illuminati, satanic gobbledygook of the ancient mystery religions. I'm not accepting that. I know that the Bible is true, that Jesus Christ is the one true God who manifested himself in the flesh, died for my sins, rose from the dead, is coming back again. He is the only one who can forgive me and restore me to fellowship with the Creator. I'm not going to eat of the tree that you're offering, buddy boy. I'm not following the serpent. I'm not following Lucifer. I'm not bowing my knee to the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the world government, the world system. I'm not going to do it. You will be public enemy number one. And will you? The question is, are you prepared to stand? Now, remember last week, I already said it, and I'll say it again, and we did a whole show on it. A lot of people, I don't have to worry about this. The rapture is going to happen before this. No, it is not. I'm just going to tell you, you will face this. If you live another 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, if you live another decade, you're going to see. You're going to be, it may all be over, but you're definitely going to be in it. There's not going to be a rapture. The Christians will face the Antichrist. The body of Christ, the church, the true church, throughout the world will face this world government, this man, the financial economic system, the false miracles, the alien hoax, everything. It's coming down the pike, and it's coming fast. And they're preparing their side for it. Are you prepared, Christian? Are you prepared to stand in the midst of all of that? I hope so.
Are you ready to die? Are you ready to be martyred for that faith? Because there's no way they're going to let Christians live that truly profess Jesus, that truly stand against their beliefs and their ideals. Are you prepared to die for your faith and for Jesus Christ? If not, you better think about where you're at. You better think, do you really love Jesus? Do you really love the Word of God? Do you love God to the point of death? If you don't, then I suggest you evaluate where you are with God and where you are with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's well said. Well, listen, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. We're almost out of time. I'm going to leave you with a little song by a group called Destiny Lab. They're talking about the United Nations, Blavatsky, the whole thing. But you've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dino, Kevin Wilkins, and Billy Painter. We're out. Stand strong, brothers and sisters. Stand strong.
But first get a Bible and start reading now. The moment will come when they will not allow distribution, possession of anything Christian. You'll go underground, a secret resistance, and face persecution, imprisoned and beaten. Now is the time to make your decision, to battle his minions left on this earth, or fall for a false explanation. Prefer to be herded like sheep. The ancient delusion, the oldest of schemes, has come to conclusion. The mark of the beast from the father of lies, the angel of light, master of disguise. He's devising a plan, preparing us now, and through evolution convincing the crowd that aliens somehow are out there and bound to have all of the answers and power to know the solution. Like indigo children, smarter than humans, more intuition, much more evolved, they're sending a vision. Prepare the whole world with a false explanation. If we're to evolve, we must remove Christians. They call it the cleansing, and this is their mission.
Evolve or die refers to whether humanity survives as a species. There is an enormous awakening happening on the planet.
The age of Aquarius ending duality. Oprah the Secret and Eckhart Tolle preach what will bring in a new age reality. Based in traditions of pagan theosophy, bound to be thousands of offshoots of Crowley. Students of Alistair Beatty who follow the lies of Helena Blavatsky. Radically altering, changing the pages of history. Laying the groundwork forged by the tools of Lucifer. Paving the way for the United Nations. A slow preparation, patiently waiting since the creation. A garden of Eden, a planet whose placement in time is persuaded by aliens. Outside invasions, abductions, and cow mutilations. Creating an atmosphere ripe for the picking, with movies and Hollywood implanting trickery. Mastery over the masses, the whole world collapses in panic. All desperate for someone to save them away. Anyone that will answer their questions. The savior of sorts, a new age messiah. The wolf in sheep's clothing is what will transpire. The mayhem is out of control at this moment. A world full of chaos, confusion, and torment. I'm telling you, don't stop at anything. You can't afford to face life without Christ as your king. The moment might come when the storms of reality, trapped in a world where it's actually happening.
That's one of my favorite quotes, that a significant portion of the Earth's population will soon recognize, if they haven't already done so, that humanity is now faced with a stark choice: evolve or die.